We're turning again to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And I thank you for your good singing. I'm very encouraged. And the hymn that is chosen, that perhaps is not one that we're all as familiar with. I thank you for your enthusiasm for singing it, your willingness to learn it. I trust the Lord will even speak to us through it, that we will indeed spend and be spent in the work of God's kingdom. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, let's just bow before the Lord in prayer. We come to study His precious truth this morning. Our loving and gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace that was made known to us in saving us, that grace that keeps us, that grace that will preserve us even throughout all eternity. We recognize that all that we have in the spiritual realm has been given to us by gift of God. Oh, we pray that Thou would help us now as we come to consider Thy precious truth this morning. As we consider Jabez and his prayer, oh, that Thou would encourage us to pray likewise, that we might see the blessing of God upon our lives. And may the work of our hands, may the labor of our lives be blessed of God to the saving of precious souls and the praising of Thy name. We ask for help now for the preaching and for the hearing of Thy gospel, praying in our Savior's name. Amen. Let me read with you again those words from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. In this little series that we've begun on lesser known Bible characters, we want to consider Jabez this morning, a man who prayed a famous prayer. Now, it's been well said that where there is little prayer, there will be little blessing. And where there is much prayer, there will be much blessing. But where there is no prayer, there will be no blessing. Because where there is no prayer, there is no power. And most of the needs in our Christian life are very often due to the fact that we have been absent from prayer. George Feeling said, "He who fails to pray does not cheat God, he cheats himself." And how true that is. We cheat ourselves, we rob ourselves of God's help and strength. We rob ourselves of daily blessings simply because we do not ask. The scriptures remind us that we have not because we ask not. Well, this morning I want us to consider this man Jabez, who is known for his praying. And he prayed perhaps one of the most famous prayers ever prayed. Certainly, the only prayer known better would be that of the Lord's Prayer, which our Savior taught his disciples. Well, this prayer of Jabez is one that stirs our hearts even as we read it. Now, some people are remembered for various things. And there are some that are known for their praying. John Hyde comes to mind. He was a man of prayer, so much in fact that he was known as Praying Hyde. The Apostle James, who wrote in James 5 and verse 16 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, was reputedly to have been nicknamed Camel knees. If you've ever seen a camel, you'll know that they have huge calluses on their knees from all of their bending down and kneeling. Well, James the Apostle was nicknamed Camel Knees. He was a man who was always on his knees. George Mueller was known for his praying and for his faith. Well, it's Jabez we want to think about this morning. And there's very little that we know about this man. The Holy Spirit has not given us much information about him, but what is revealed is that he was a man of prayer. So, who was this person, Jabez? We know very little about him. We know nothing about where he was born, or where he lived, or when he died. We don't know if he's from a prominent family or from a poor family. All that we know about this person is what is given by way of suggestion about his name. Verse 9 tells us that his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Sometimes it's customary amongst Christian people when they're naming their children to give them a Bible name. Well, there are certain Bible names that we would never choose for our children. We would never think of calling a girl Jezebel, nor a boy Judas, nor would I suggest that we should ever think of calling our sons Jabez, because the name simply means grief, or sorrowful, or full of pain. How would you like to be known as pain? I know people, some of them that are a pain, but that's not what they've been christened. Well, the Bible tells us that his mother named him Jabez because she bore him in sorrow. We don't know what her sorrow was or why she chose to name him after that sorrow, and there have been numerous things that have been suggested throughout the years. Some have said that since it is his mother that named him, that the presumption then that his father is dead. Normally it was the father that named the child. You think of John the Baptist when he was born, that they asked his father what they should name. So fathers normally name their children. The fact that his mother named him, some suggest, shows that his father was no longer there. Others have went further and suggested that his brothers had stolen his inheritance, and his mother grieved over the impoverished life that he would live. Others have said that his mother grieved over the barren environment into which she has brought her son. Perhaps she had a hard time delivering him, and the suggestion there that she bear him with sorrow. There are many ideas, many speculations. Clovis Chapel, a preacher from a bygone year, said that Jabez was born with some handicap. He says his name was a handicap, even if nothing else was. Well, whatever the reason, it would seem that his was a life that was associated with pain, with sorrow. Now, we are tempted, our society today would look at pain as being the enemy of happiness and joy. And yet, we see throughout history that many of God's greatest servants were men and women who had experienced great pain and sorrow in their lives. A.W. Tozer said that it was doubtful that God could use a man greatly until he had hurt him deeply. J.I. Packer, a great theologian, said, "God uses chronic pain and weakness, along with other afflictions, as his chisel for sculpting our lives. Our felt weakness deepens our dependence on Christ for strength each day. The weaker we feel, the harder we lean. The harder we lean, the stronger we grow spiritually, even while our bodies waste away. To live with your thorn uncomplainingly, that is sweet pain. patient and free in heart to love and help others, even though every day you feel weak. That is true sanctification. It is true healing for the spirit. It is a supreme victory of grace. The healing of your sinful person thus goes forward, even though the healing of your mortal body does not. Jabez was no doubt the man he was because of the pain that was associated with his life. We know something about Jabez based upon his name. We know something also based upon his nature. Because whatever it was that ailed him, whatever the trouble that was in his life, be it physical suffering, be it because of material suffering, whatever the disadvantage that he had, he didn't allow it to defeat him or to hinder him from being all that he could be and doing all that he could do. His nature is one that would not allow this disadvantage to hinder him. Wasn't going to allow it to keep him down. And we sometimes need to be careful because we look at others and we think, well, they're so gifted in this particular area, or they're so talented in this area, that I don't measure up to those qualities and those standards. Therefore, because I can't do what this person does, I'll do nothing. And the devil will tell us, you'll never be much use for God. You can't do what others can do. You don't have those talents or abilities. You don't measure up, therefore, you can't do anything. That's not true. We are part of the body of Christ. We have all different functions within that body, and the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. We have different functions to carry out. We will not all be doing the same thing. We will not all be gifted in the same area. But you will have something to contribute to the body of Christ and to the work of God. And Jabez, in spite of the pain and the sorrow of his life, does not say, well, I have nothing to contribute. We never read of Jabez saying, I'm not qualified. I don't have the ability. I will never be anything great for God. No, we find him, in spite of his disadvantaged life, being an overcomer, an achiever. So rather than looking at others and saying that I cannot do what they can do, may the Lord teach us to do what we can. I think of what the Savior said when that box of alabaster ointment was broken over him, and there were some that would complain of how the money could have been spent in better causes and for other things. The woman rebuked him. The Savior said concerning her, she has done what she could. I tell you, that will be a great testimony to hear from the Lord that day we stand before, that we have done what we could. Others may have more talents. Others may have more gifts. Others may have more opportunities. But may the Lord be able to say of us, we have done what we could. May we do it gladly. May we do it willingly unto the Lord. So we see something about the person of Jabez, about his name and about his nature. But notice what the Scripture says about his prominence. It says in verse 9 that Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. His life may have been one that indicated pain or sorrow, but the Holy Spirit looks upon him and describes him as a man who is honourable. What does that mean? That means he lived a blessed life. The word honourable carries the idea of one who has been blessed by God. And as believers, We want to know God's blessing upon our lives. We want to be in a position where the windows of heaven are opened and God's blessings are poured out upon us. In fact, the word honorable comes from the Hebrew word meaning heavy. Jabez was not only blessed, he was heavily blessed. We might say he was weighted down with God's blessings. The psalmist said in Psalm 68 and verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Loaded down with benefits, carrying a heavy load, not of sin, not of sorrow, but a heavy burden of blessings. Daily loaded with blessings. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. He was heavily blessed by God. There are many names recorded for us in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And undoubtedly some of them were great men, and some were greater than others, but Jabez, we're told, was more honorable than the rest. We're looking at the cream when we look at Jabez. He has floated to the top. He is not ordinary, he is extraordinary. He is more honorable than his brethren. We ought not to be settling for mediocrity. The average Christian does not get stirred up or fired up about the things of God. Or they'll get fired up if the speakers are too loud, or the sermon is too long, or the room is too cold, or something else that doesn't suit them. They can get stirred up about trivial things, but not about the things of God. We don't want to be that average Christian. The world is filled with average churches. Well, the average church around us today is content to have one service on a Sunday and disappear then for the rest of the week and never make an appearance until the next Sunday morning again. And the average church is satisfied to be what they are and doing what they're doing and staying just exactly where they're put. They don't want to change. They don't want to trust God. They don't want to climb higher. They don't want to push further. They don't want to move out or move up. You know what the Lord Jesus said about the average church in the book of Revelation? To the church of Laodicea, that was neither hot nor cold, but somewhere in the middle, lukewarm. The Lord said, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." The Lord wants us to be as Jabez. He's looking for those who will rise above the ordinary, who want something more out of their Christian life. The Lord wants us to be Christians, believers, who will pray more than the average Christian, who will work harder than the average Christian, who will give more than the average Christian, who will witness more than the average Christian, sacrifice more, go more, do more. To be more honorable than our brethren. We cannot afford to settle for mediocrity, for lukewarmness. We will be spewed out of the mouth of Christ. The Lord is looking for those who will go forward in this name, who will attempt great things for God. And instead of resting upon our laurels and saying, "This is what we did in the past," to have a vision for the future. To realize that there's a world around us filled with people that are lost without Christ, that are going to hell, and unless someone steps up and goes and tells them, that they will be lost for all eternity. And the sad thing is, the average Christian doesn't care. That's why you don't find them praying at the prayer meeting for their families and their loved ones and their society round about them. That's why you'll never find them giving an invitation or a gospel tract to those that pass them by. That's why those who do go to the open air and preach the gospel or witness to their friends, they're considered to be extreme Christians. Why? That ought to be the norm. Jabez was not wanting to be just like everyone else. He was more honourable. He was loaded down with God's blessing. We see something of his person and of his prominence. Now what about his prayer? There is a reason why Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. And in verse 10 we find the prayer that is perhaps one of the more inspiring in all of the scriptures. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. When you look through this prayer, we see certain things that he prayed for. Firstly, that God would enlarge him. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." It's as if he's praying to the Lord, "Lord, let me take more ground for you. Let me take more territory for you." I think of Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, who was said to have prayed, "Lord, give me wider usefulness. Enlarge my coast. Give me more opportunities to love you and serve you and work for you. Pray for greater opportunities. Pray for greater usefulness, for larger borders." If we think about the circle of friends that we might have, or the circle of family, we have those who are close to us. Those that we have opportunity to demonstrate our faith in God and witness and testify to. "Lord, increase our borders. Increase our coast. Give us a wider circle of friends. Give us a wider circle of opportunity. Enlarge our coasts. Make me more useful in thy kingdom." He prayed that God would enlarge him, and that God would empower him, "that thine hand might be with me." He's praying for God's power in his life, that God's hand would be upon him. Here's a man who is not content to be like others when it comes to the power of God. He wanted more. And we as Christians do not have to settle for weak, powerless lives. And I am fully convinced that as we live lives that God desires and is pleased in, that we can expect his hand of power to be upon us, for our usefulness to be increased, and for God working through us to become even more powerful. We become more effective in what the Lord calls us to do. I wonder, have we ever prayed that God's hand might be with us? That rather than being at ease in Zion and resting upon what we have and staying within our comfort zone, that we're willing to pay the price to go forward with God and for God's hand to be upon us? I think of the Apostle Paul, weak in body, contemptible in appearance. That's how the scriptures describe it. And yet a powerhouse for God. Has God's power been diminished? Has his arm been shortened? Can he do less today than what he did before? Of course. The awesome power of God is available to every Christian who is tired of simply business as usual, that are willing to be used by God and are willing to pay the price. Oh, that God would enlarge our coast, that he would empower us, his hand being upon us, that God would encompass us, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve. Jabez continued his prayer with a request for protection from sin and from evil. He knows that when sin comes in, the troubles come soon afterwards. And he's praying that God would hedge him around and be a guard unto his life, keeping him from evil. We'll come to it in a few weeks in our studies in the Lord's Prayer. For the Savior taught us to pray, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And Jabez is praying that God would deliver him from evil. Now we thank God that he does forgive sin. We thank God that every time that we stumble and fall and we confess our sins unto him, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We thank the Lord for that forgiveness that is available to us. But how much better if we have prayed previously, Lord, keep us from sin. Keep us from sin. That thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Better than praying for forgiveness is to pray for strength not to enter temptation to begin. Will it work? Well, look at what the end of verse 10 says. God granted him that which he requested. God gave him the answers to those prayers. He did enlarge his coast. He did empower him with his strength. He did encompass him around and keep him from sin. He prayed big and he received big answers. A.B. Simpson said that our God has boundless resources and the only limit to prayer is in us. Our asking, our thinking, our praying is too small. Our expectations are too limited. Another has said that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are too easily pleased. Jabez was a man who asked great things from God, and God granted him that which he requested. Now, I am no Jabez, and I suppose neither are you. But if we're willing to follow his example and not be content with the little that we have, but that we want more from God and that we're willing to do more for God, then I believe the Lord will hear and answer our prayers and will bless us. And I suppose this morning this message is one that confronts us in our complacency. That we're guilty of being complacent. We are content with what we have. As long as there are a few here to come and worship on a Sunday morning, and as long as there's a preacher here to come and bring a message, then that will be sufficient. It's not. It's not. It's self-defeating, and one day the well will run dry and the whole thing will end. The church is to be a living organism, a growing organism. We are to be enlarging our coast. I think of how the scriptures describe Joseph as a fruitful bough. His branches run over the wall. He's not only a blessing in his own garden, but even those on the other side of the wall are blessed by his presence also. May we be a force for good and for God in these days. May we not be content to say, well, we'll go to church on Sunday morning and we'll worship God and that will be sufficient. Tell me, are you truly satisfied with the growth of the church? Truly. If you're not, then I ask you to be like Jabez and to pray that the Lord would increase your usefulness to get others in to hear the gospel, to receive Christ. That God would empower your witness and make it effectual. And the Lord would keep the wicked one out and compass us around. We cannot be complacent. We cannot be satisfied just because we have a little. We are to do more for God. Are you satisfied with the growth of the church? I'm not. I trust you're not either. Are you satisfied with the spiritual level within the church? I can only look at my own heart and aspire for more of God in my life. Oh, that Thou would bless me indeed. Are we satisfied with the outreach of the church? Are we doing enough? Could we be doing more? You know, the church that is standing still is only one step away from slipping backwards. Oh, that Thou wouldst enlarge my coast, and that Thine hand might be with me, and that Thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Beloved, I believe that if we are serious about loving God and serving God and living for God, that the Lord would grant our requests, that he would bless us, that he would equip us, that he would enlarge us and empower us and encompass us around. And that we might have a name like Jabez of being more honourable than our brethren. Oh, that we might be a people marked by the presence of God and his pleasure upon us. That we not be content or complacent, but may we press toward the mark of our high calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we run the race that is set before us. May we be overcomers and victors in our spiritual life. And may the Lord have all the glory and all the praise. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving and gracious Father, we thank you for the testimony that ascribed to Jabez in my word as one that was more honourable than his brethren. Oh, we pray that we could be all that we could be for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would be growing and living and vibrant Christians. That our testimony and witness to the world would be of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and what he can do for them. That we would see the body of Christ growing and strengthening in these days. May we not be half-hearted or lukewarm. May we not be at ease in Zion, but may we be busy in the work of the Lord, growing in thy grace. May we see others coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ alone. Oh, that thou wouldst bless us indeed, enlarging our coasts, that thy hand would be with us, and thou would keep us from evil. May thou, God, be pleased to grant such requests, we pray in our Saviour's name. Amen.